Hi, this is Laura, and today I'm speaking with Donna Gephardt, who writes middle grade novels. Her first book, As If Being 12 and 3 quarters Isn't Bad Enough, My Mother is Running for President, won the Sid Fleischman Humor Award and a Florida State Book Award Silver Medal in Children's Literature. Her newest novel, called How to Survive Middle School, was published this past April by Delacorte Press. A starred review in Kirkus said, Gephardt maps the terrain of pubescent boyhood with realistic dialogue, well-developed secondary characters, and age-appropriate humor and insight. Do be sure to check out Donna's website at donnagephardt.com, and we'll have a link to that from the clubhouse, to see her hilarious YouTube book trailer for this book featuring a hamster. And if you love hamsters as I do, you will just think this is really, really cute. She's got another novel coming out sometime in the future called Olivia Bean Trivia Queen, about a girl determined to get on the TV quiz show Jeopardy. So Donna, it's great speaking with you today.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
You're making quite a name for yourself as a writer of humorous middle grade novels. How does an adult tap into that particular age level of humor without sounding condescending or like you're just completely out of touch with who your readers are?
Well, Laura, first of all, my friends and family will tell you that I am absolutely still a 12-year-old at heart. So I don't have to reach too far back to get to those years. I really just try to remember not necessarily what happened during those years, but how I felt, because I think those feelings are universal no matter what age you are. So I tap into those feelings when I work, and I think that really helps me reach that age group without sounding like I am a 44-year-old woman.
And, do you think that your readers have the ability to laugh at themselves when they see the characters in your books doing funny or sometimes stupid things, as kids that age are prone to do?
And as the characters in my books often do, yes. I think as far as my young readers laughing at themselves, really, I think the bottom line of why I write for this age group is so that my young readers feel less alone, like there's somebody just like them. And as far as I'm concerned, the more faults and stumbles I give my characters, the better my readers will feel about themselves, because everybody has imperfections. You know, even Superman has this little kryptonite issue. So I think for young readers to read about other characters that aren't perfect and don't get perfect grades and make mistakes, which we're all supposed to do anyway, that's part of life, and to realize they're not alone. Maybe they feel like, you know, in the pages of a book, they have a friend who's an awful lot like them. So, yeah, in that sense, they can laugh at themselves and feel better about themselves, which is pretty much the point.
Now, your first novel had a girl protagonist, and How to Survive Middle School features a boy narrator, and both are written in first person. So was one more difficult to write than the other?
That's a great question. When I talk to middle school kids, I do a lot of author visits. You know, I stand up there and I say, I know it might be hard for you to tell, but I am not an 11-year-old boy. And sometimes the kids get that. But it really wasn't any more difficult to write, just because, again, we're tapping into universal feelings. So, you know, the feeling of being humiliated or embarrassed is exactly the same whether you're a girl or a boy. And then I also think it helps that I am living in a household full of males. I have my husband, my two teenage sons, even our dogs are males. So I certainly had a lot of that to draw from. But really, you know, the bottom line is, you know, whether it's male, female, no matter what age it is, truly, no matter where we live in this world, we do share the same emotions and the same feelings.
Now, other than, you know, sort of the emotional issues, are there particular stage of life issues that really define middle grade as opposed to younger chapter books or older middle grade novels?
Oh, gosh, yes. I think I focus on this grade in particular because it is one of the most challenging times of life for young people, because they are literally bridging that gap between childhood and adulthood. And there are so many changes going on, both internally, externally, you know, with their brains, with their bodies. It is such a tumultuous time of life, and it is so challenging that, you know, I feel like I remembered how hard that time of life was for me, and then I watched our kids go through that too. So I write about that time to maybe, you know, give kids a little clarity, to help them have a little roadmap and see where they're going, and that things will definitely get better and definitely get easier.
And as an author, do you ever worry about going too far? Should middle grade authors worry about, you know, holding back certain topics from their readers, or certain behaviors that their characters might have? Or is that something that is not a problem these days?
Well, that's a great question. It is a problem these days because you're talking about censorship, and I feel very strongly about it. I feel very strongly on the side of let's give these kids what they need to get. I feel very strongly on the side of tell the best story you can and don't worry about anything else while you're telling the story. In my first book, this 12-year-old girl says prayers to the boob fairy because she's never been visited by the boob fairy. And I did get a little bit of flack from that. I was told by some people we didn't carry that on our shelves, or it wouldn't get into this location. And you know what? I think most of my, you know, a lot of my fan mail from young readers, oh, thank you for writing about that. That's how I feel. The boob fairy never visited me either. So, you know, I write about what I think really matters to young people. Of course, I try not to go too far because they're still young. But I want to write what's real and what matters. And you know, maybe it gives the adults in their lives a good chance to have a discussion with them instead of trying to keeping you know, that information from them. Use the book as a springboard. And a lot of children won't experience these things, but they can experience them through books. So I think it's really important not to censor ourselves and, you know, to stand up for the young readers who don't always have a voice in that.
Now, as a writer of contemporary fiction, how in touch do you feel you need to be these days with pop culture and middle school social networking and YouTube and all of these things that kids have these days that we didn't have growing up?
Right. Well, first of all, I'm probably incredibly out of touch. And, you know, when I was at that age, I was out of touch because I'm just a nerdy, bookwormy kind of person. But fortunately, I do have, you know, two young teenagers at home with me. So I really can see a lot of what they go through, what their friends go through. I can watch what they're looking at online and kind of keep up to date that way. And I do try to keep up on things because I don't want to write about something that, you know, was 20 years ago. I want to, you know, be as accurate as I can, because the truth is by the time it comes out, there'll be new technologies and whatever I write about will be antiquated anyway. But I do think it's important to at least understand their world. You don't have to live in it. Your character doesn't even necessarily have to live in it, but you should understand your young reader's world to some degree. I don't use the slang of young people and that because I want my books to be able to last for years and years, but I do try to understand what their lives are like now.
Do you think it's important to reference a few current things in your books? Do you reference things like email or Facebook or, you know, internet, things like that, just to sort of ground the book in a particular time?
I do it just because my characters, especially in How to Survive Middle School, that particular character, he loves to make videos. He's a big fan of Jon Stewart and The Daily Show, and he makes these funny YouTube videos patterned after the Jon Stewart show. So, of course, I'm, you know, addressing all the technology that kids are using today, the YouTube connection and emails and how many hits the YouTube video gets and all those kind of things. I am definitely availing myself of, but you also have to be careful because every once in a while I'll mention a TV show or something that the character likes, and by the time the book comes out, you know, that TV show's in reruns. So you do have to be a little bit careful.
Do you have any tips for new published authors on getting the word out about their book once they've gotten published? What sorts of marketing things do you do?
Boy, that is such a, there's a big umbrella that falls under. It is very important to do your own promotion, even if you have somebody at your publishing company who works doing promotion for you, because they have many people that they're doing promotion for, and it's very important that you take ownership of your own promotion of your work. And, you know, if you're shy or you're a little bit of an introvert, you just say, you know, you're not trying to sell yourself. You're trying to bring your character into the world. Your job is to get your story with your character into as many young hands as possible. But, you know, in middle grade fiction, the problem with that is you're not appealing directly to the children. You're kind of appealing to the gatekeepers, the librarians, the media specialists, the parents, the teachers. So you should really focus your promotion in that way. I try to connect and do a lot of school visits, which is a wonderful way to connect to that community. I created a website. I created a blog. I tried to connect, you know, in as many ways as possible within the, you know, literature, the children's literacy community. And, gosh, it's really challenging because you just have to do what you're comfortable with. Do as much as you can. Do what you're comfortable with. Start months and months before your book is ready to come out. Make a plan before that. There's some great books in the library about how to promote your own work. I would suggest getting one of those and mapping out a plan and sticking with the plan. And remember, when the book comes out, to celebrate, because what a wonderful accomplishment. And make sure you have a party and have a lot of fun and celebrate your accomplishment. Whether it sells, you know, a million copies or a few thousand copies, you have to remember to be proud of yourself for getting to that step.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Now, your website, I really like the design of it. It's very clean. It's very easy to use. You can find what you need very quickly on it. And I was wondering, what do you feel are the most essential elements in an author's website? I imagine most of the people accessing your site are going to be teachers and media specialists, probably some of your readers. So what sort of things did you have in mind when you were designing the site or having it designed for you?
Right. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. When my first book came out, I hired somebody to design my site, and I thought they did a wonderful job. But with my second book coming out, I wanted more control over the site. I didn't want to have to wait for that person to fit me into the schedule to make small changes. So I took the big leap recently, and I went on one of these, I think Weebly, Weebly.com, was a service that I used. It's extremely inexpensive. It's extremely easy to use. And I designed my own website. And I think what was important, at least on the splash page, on the front page, was to get the books front and center. So they know here I am and this is what I do. So I made sure I have my book covers front and center. I have a hamster with a link to the funny hamster video. And from there, you have to make sure you have contact information. I have a page for school visits and events so that if a librarian gets on the site, if a teacher gets on the site, somebody organizing an event, they can easily see what I've done, maybe some quotes I have from some successful ones in the past, and what I can do for them. I have fun trivia about my books for the young readers who go on the site. I have ordering information front and center so they can get a copy of the book if they'd like to. And then I also link it to my blog, which is something I can easily update more often and keep it fun and the same tone as my books are, so people can keep up with what's going on and still have a good time in the process. So that's about it. There's also great books about, you know, what to put on your website. Really, just the basics, how to contact you, what you offer for school visits, and some interesting information about your books.
Well, and congratulations for designing it on your own. That's a big accomplishment right there.
Thank you.
Do you have any final advice for new writers who are working on their first book?
Yes, I do. I have six words. This is what I like to say. Don't quit. Work hard and be nice. And don't quit, because we have to face so many rejections until we get that one acceptance. And it seems like the closer we come to getting that acceptance, the harder it is to face those rejections. So don't quit is important. And work hard, we all work hard, but I feel like the reason I was able to sell my books was not because of how I wrote them, but it was rewriting them and rewriting them and rewriting them until they were absolutely the best they could be. And then when I sent it out and my agent sent suggestions to rewrite it again, I did it again. And when my editor sent suggestions, I did it again. I think it's that willingness to put in the time and the hard work. And then the be nice part, you know, the children's literature community is just such a wonderful, supportive group of people. So always, you know, give back, help the next person coming along. I run critique groups. I help tutor. You name it, I do it. I donate books all the time. Just be nice. Just be yourself, but be nice. And it's amazing what comes back to you in this community when you are. So that's my three things. Don't quit. Work hard. Be nice. It'll happen.
Well, that's great advice for just about any area of life, I think, but writing in particular. So that was wonderful. Well, thank you, Donna. Thank you so much for being here with us today and giving us this great information. And I urge everyone to go to DonnaGebhardt.com, look at Donna's books, read them, talk about them, hand one to your child's teacher, and, you know, funny middle grade fiction. We can always use more of that. So thanks again, Donna.
Thank you. It was great.